KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
40.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Our election is over, but South Koreans go to the polls next month for their presidential election. A leading contender is the daughter of South Korea's former dictator. South Korean elections operate very differently than they do in the United States. We're going to find out how. And joining us to talk about it is Professor Yung-Chul Ha. He's a professor of political science at the University of Washington. He's also a professor of international relations at Seoul National University. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
I think the story of South Korea in the last 30, 40 years is just a fascinating one. After the Korean War, many Americans might assume, well, it was all South Korea was fine. But in fact, South Korea was a dictatorship until late in the 1980s. Could you recount a little bit about how that transition finally took place?
Yes. As you probably know, the Korea was born in 1945, and then one of the most modern constitutions in the world, largely because we belong to the American-led Western Hemisphere, mm-hmm. Western Bloc. But then the reality was quite different from the ideal democracy.
Why did it not turn out the way one might have assumed it would have from the Constitution?
Yes, largely because I think economic conditions were not met. At the time, even in the early 1960s, GNP per capita level was only $80.
Maybe people might not realize this, but I have learned that people in South Korea were worse off than people in North Korea until the 1970s,
yes.
As I understand it. We always assume North Korea is the poor brother there, but not so until relatively later than that.
Yes, up until mid-1970s, mm-hmm. actually, North Korea was winning in the economic game. But then since 1962 or 3, President Park, succeeded in military coup d'etat in 1961, began to launch extensive developmental plans until his death in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond the 1975, actually South Korean economy caught up with that of North Korea, so winning basically economic games.
And President Park, of course, made alliances with the large corporations, the chaebols, the companies that we know today, Samsung, et cetera, who are known worldwide, and kind of got that going. Why did it not develop? You mentioned the economics of the country sort of pushed it away from perhaps going in the democratic direction you might have thought it would have gone in from the Constitution. Why did the economy sort of pushed it more in a dictatorial mode, at least in those early decades?
Largely because prior to Park Chung-hee's dictatorship, actually our economy was based upon import substitution, meaning basically the importing consumer goods and then barely survived based upon U.S. aid. But then President Park Chung-hee turned it around, mm-hmm. and adopting export-oriented economy, thus accelerating economic growth, on average 10% per annum, and then reaching the level of $10,000 GNP per capita by the time of 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of mixed the picture here. On the one hand, Korea was not ready for democracy politically, but then economically it was so dire. But then Park Chung-hee succeeded in economic modernization, but politically it was quite the authoritarian, if not dictatorial.
Well, by the 80s, this began to change, and there was more of a democratic system in South Korea. But it wasn't as though things were smooth sailing after that. It's kind of amazing to see that the traumatic events in South Korea, even since then, one president shot to death at the Blue House,
yes.
which is Korea's equivalent of the White House, by yes. the head of the Korean intelligence agency.
Yes.
Two former presidents were jailed yeah. for corruption.
Yeah.
Why were these one-offs, or was there a pattern to all these traumatic events taking place once the president was democratically elected?
I think the President Park Chung-hee, actually, who was the authoritarian leader who succeeded in economic development, he was, as you said, assassinated in 1979. But then there was a power vacuum all of a sudden, as you can imagine. And then because of inertia of military rule, another military dictator came to power and ruled for another 7 years. And then finally, when he was trying to extend his rule, then middle-class people, intellectuals, opposition leaders, student the bodies, all they revolted against him, which culminated in the event of June 10th, 1937. I was there on the scene, and I still have a vivid memory of it. Finally, the military dictatorship had to end his rule. Then we began the democratic, what they call transition.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as you know, the on the one end, we have a strong aspiration for democracy at the elite level or intellectual level. But at the mass level, in the course of democratization, somehow people got richer, but then they developed state dependency
mm-hmm.
of some sort. So because of this lack of a connection between the political process, democratic process, and the actual society, the elites themselves actually fought a very fierce battle among themselves,
mm-hmm.
Which further delayed. And in the meantime, all the powers concentrated into the hands of president,
yes.
President, so that what they call royal presidency emerged.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this royal the presidency, somehow the corruptions they occurred around the president and his families and,
yes.
and the cohorts. So that's why almost every president and his family was implicated in some sort of corruption.
Even the current president, the outgoing
yes.
president. I just saw a headline today
yes,
about
yes.
his family members.
Very unfortunate, but that's the situation now.
But how would you say, how established and strong is democracy in South Korea today?
I would say the most vibrant democracy in East Asia.
Yeah.
First of all, now there's no way for Korean democracy to recede back into military dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Korean military has been completely depoliticized. And then also we have succeeded in already more than five times of presidential election in a peaceful manner without much the election corruptions. So overall, it's quite good. But then where it stands now is that what Korean democracy needs is how to reconnect
mm-hmm.
the political parties with the mass people or society in general, because usually prior to the democratization, Korean society was rampant in regionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So regional tie-based political party and then political bosses
yeah.
Ruled the whole politics.
We're talking about politics in South Korea and the upcoming presidential elections there with Yong-Chul Ha. He's a professor of political science at the University of Washington. And what are the major issues in the upcoming presidential election? I know that South Korea has suffered less than many other developed nations because of the recession, but it's still a big issue in Korea, and some feeling of some people getting ahead, maybe those working with the bigger corporations and others falling behind. Is that a major issue in discussion?
Yes, because of our earlier experience of financial crisis, 1997-8, actually this time, 2008, economic crisis, actually we weathered a little bit of the crisis. So far, as I'm reading what's going on in Korean politics, there are three issues. One is the how to establish the sort of an interest-based relationship between parties and then Korean society. That's now they are calling for political reforms
mm-hmm.
to achieve that goal. And then second is what they call economic democracy. As you mentioned, the Korean jebols.
These are the big corporations.
Yeah, big corporations. They are so much monopolistic in their share of the market from production on down to consumption. So now all the parties involved, their main catchphrases now, political catchphrases, is exactly about how to establish economic democracy, meaning sort of cutting down the level of influence of jebols in markets
mm-hmm.
here, and encouraging small and medium industries to catch up further. And then finally, it's about relationship with North Korea. Under the current administration or regime, somehow all the ties to North Korea have been basically cut.
It's been chilly with the current
very chilly
regime.
So now, with the different degrees of the change, each of the three candidates now, they are the sort of trying to advocate for some kind of change in the posture toward North Korea.
Perhaps
these are the major three major issue areas.
And let's get to that. There are three major candidates. There's the ruling party, the New Frontier Party. There's an opposition party. Then there's an independent candidate, which is kind of an interesting wrinkle to this upcoming election. Let's talk first about the person who is standing for election as president with the New Frontier Party, the Sanuri Party. This is the daughter of the former dictator.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that seems like it would be a political liability.
Yes, that's true. And let me just introduce her a little bit more. She is the now, I think, 60-year-old lady and who graduated from School of Engineering and who had to act as the first lady since her mother was assassinated in the mid-1970s. And then, as you said, her father was also killed. So from early on, she watched very closely how politics developed in Korea. So that's why she's known to be experienced in politics and quite disciplined, the politician, with a very, very sincere mind about what she says and what she does. But as you said, she has some liability coming from her father. But in the 2008 election, already she was one of the candidates of her own party, although she failed ultimately. So at that time, a lot of her legacies actually were vetted. So this time around, I think the intensity will be much lower than.
So she might be past those objections to her heritage.
Yes, but then the more serious problem to me would be to maintain coherence within her own party rather than the whole personal background.
Oh, really?
Because the whole party, there are so many different kinds of people starting from 1960s up until now.
Mm-hmm.
So under the same rubric of conservatism of some other political names, labeling you might add there in Korean context, for example, these conservative people are actually a bit anti-North Korea and also rather pro-Chaebol people.
Yeah.
But then now there's some sectors within the party, they try to change it, as I said. So how to maintain the policy coherence within the party will be a very challenging tool.
Now, I've heard the two major parties in Korea described this way. The New Frontier Party, the party you're describing, is kind of like the Republicans.
Exactly.
And the opposition party, kind of like the Democrats. Do you think that's accurate?
I think largely accurate.
And tell us a little bit about the opposition party and their candidate.
Yeah, opposition party is called United Democratic Party, which stands for more or less a more relaxed attitude to North Korea and more or less the critical attitude to the Chaebol groups. So more people-oriented the approach, more welfare-oriented the approach. But then this time around, two parties and one independent candidate, they all are saying that they are trying to be more centrist, the center, oriented party, meaning centrist, rather than too extreme conservative or too extreme progressive.
Yeah.
So I don't see much policy difference among them.
All three.
Among them. But then they are not clear. For example, every candidate now talking about improving social welfare.
Yeah.
But then...
what does that mean?
Meaning, for example, they are not clear about where they secure fund or something like that.
They all say they want to do this, but it's not clear how they would want to do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about this independent candidate.
Yes.
First of all, is it unusual that there be a independent candidate who would be prominent in the presidential election? Is that different for South Korea?
Yes, there are many, these small, so-called small candidates, independent candidates. But then this time around, this one is a rather big independent candidate.
Yeah, and he's a self-made...
Self-made, but he graduated from Seoul National Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
And then he transformed himself into a kind of the IT guru. So he developed the computer vaccine company, which is now flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is very popular among the people under 40.
Can he win?
Now what's going on is that I think he declared his candidacy to me a little bit late. He's trying to merge with the United Democratic Party.
The opposition party. I see.
At the moment, the deal, the negotiation process is stalled. But I think the whole success of opposition party, including on the independent candidate, will depend upon whether there will be succeeding in the emerging the two sides.
Finally, I want to talk a little bit about how South Korea does its presidential elections, which I just find fascinating, so different from here in so many ways.
Yes, yes.
First of all, this is a very limited campaign. The campaign is only going to be for 23 days, is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
How do they keep people from campaigning before the campaign officially starts?
Because the rationale behind it is that Korean political campaigns actually consume so much money. And then, so there's so much corruption. Mm-hmm. And then later, so many arrests out of the election law violations.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they decide to shorten the campaign the time. But then main difference between here and then South Korean election is, first of all, Korean presidency is the five-year one-term presidency.
I see.
Single-term presidency.
And it's 4 years?
Five years.
5 years, okay.
And then secondly, there are primaries, but then it's quite different. Unlike here, the people outside the party actually can join the primary process.
Oh, okay. So it's like an open primary, we have in Washington State.
Exactly, open primaries, yes. And then thirdly, as you said, campaign fund, there's a limit to campaign fund. In dollar terms, approximately $50 million, something like that.
And corporate money is forbidden?
No, they could.
Okay.
And they should be transparent.
I see.
But if any candidate wins, within the limit of the campaign fund, their whole expense could be refunded by the government.
Really?
Yeah. So meaning we don't have this kind of, super PAC or something we're very strict about the campaign funding.
We're just about out of time, but also briefly, maybe you could talk about the restrictions on advertising. Political advertising is not like it is here either in South Korea, is it?
Actually, the negative advertising is quite limited, restricted in Korean context.
Mm-hmm.
And also, but they are encouraged to use the IT or internet for the political advertisement. So there used to be many libel suits in the course of this campaign. But because of these restrictions on advertising, I think nowadays we see far less number of libel suits in Korean political campaign.
Young Chul Ha, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I've learned a lot. We've been talking about the South Korean election with Professor Ha, professor of political science at the University of Washington. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, you've been listening to The Conversation, produced by David Hyde with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews. Andy Hurst is our engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I am Ross Reynolds. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.